Happy Father's Day for those of you to whom it applies and for those of you to whom it doesn't. Happy Father's Day. It's so good to see you this morning. You're a good-looking bunch. Well, most of you. You have your Bibles today, Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, begin reading with verse 3. And would you stand, please, as we read God's Word together this morning. I'm sorry you just sat down. But Proverbs 20, beginning with verse 3. Avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Only fools insist on quarreling. Those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest. Though good advice lies deep within the heart, a person with understanding will draw it out. Many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable? The godly walk with integrity, and blessed are their children who follow them. May God's word be enriched in your life today. You may be seated. I honestly today don't really remember where I borrowed this from, but it was either from one of two people. It was either from one of my friends, John Maxwell or Stan Toler. So I'm just going to give them credit today. Is that all right? But I want to talk with us today about the secrets of a winning dad. But let me very quickly say, since my son is sitting here, I do not profess to have been a perfect dad, not in any way, shape, fashion, or form. I failed at many, many things in being a dad. So this is not from some self-fulfillment. I was in the game myself, and it's only through God's grace that I didn't kill my kids. Those of you who are dads and have lived through teenage years, you understand exactly what I mean. But now, I have grandkids, and so that's God's reward. Hallelujah. And we'll have one at our house this afternoon, and I will not get a nap. Just leave it there. So I'm not up here to talk like I have it all perfected. I just want to talk to us about some things that I really do believe will make a difference for those who have young children and those who may yet have children. Well, take notes, buddy. Take notes. This will be recorded if you don't have a pencil. Number one. You always have to pick on youth pastors, by the way. Always. A winning dad is a dad of prayer. A dad of prayer. Praying for your children is like putting a wall of protection around them, spiritually speaking. To pray for your kids . The biblical term is to put a hedge of protection. That's not really a word we use much anymore. We think of hedges, we think of shrubbery, and you can walk through shrubbery unless it has the needles, and then you're kind of slow to it. But if you build a barrier, a wall, that makes a difference. There were times that I've wondered about how our kids would develop in their spiritual life. And Rachel and I honestly prayed that God would go ahead and let them pass at a young age if it meant they would miss heaven to grow up. Now that's a serious prayer, y'all. But when we dedicated our babies to God, that was the desire of our heart. And we faithfully prayed for our children. I prayed for my kids. It does four things for our children. Letter A, it teaches them a dependence upon God. To depend on God. If we can't teach our children to depend on God, we're not teaching them much, dads. We can teach them to fish and to hunt and swim and ride jet skis, and we can teach them all the fun things. But if we don't teach them to depend on God, especially in the culture in which we live, and by the way, we could have said that for every culture that's ever been. Okay? But I recognize, and I think most of us do, that right now is a very pivotal time in our entire world. Especially in American culture. We're facing battles that we never dreamed we would face. And to pray for your children, Dad, will teach them to depend on God. Letter B, it will give them strength against temptation. Strength to stand up to whatever Satan would try to bring against them. Letter C, it will allow our children to be open and transparent with us. One thing about Brent, I don't think the boys ever kept a secret in his life. I would get something for Rachel for Christmas, or what, which I had a hard time keeping it from her, but if he was with me when I bought it, he would barely get in the door. Ah, Dad, he's not good at keeping secrets. So if you have a secret, don't tell Brent. But he would battle with things, and he would come home and talk to us. Praying for your children shows them that you're being open with God, and they can be open with you. Letter D, it will give them a heart for God. A heart for God. Even when Bethany was at her worst, she came back to serve Jesus. Does it always happen exactly the way we think? No, it doesn't. But they'll never forget the things that we taught them and that we prayed for them. Number two, a winning dad is a dad of play. A dad of play. A desire to help make life enjoyable for our children. There was a cartoon years ago that showed a dad in his favorite chair reading the paper. That tells you it's been a few years, because not many people read the paper anymore. His young son was standing there beside the chair with his cap and his ball, his gloves and his hat. And the caption under the cartoon, the little boy was saying to his dad, "Dad, play me or trade me." All too soon, dads, our children will be grown and gone. And we need to have a spirit of play. Brent graduated from kindergarten and I bought him his first set of golf clubs. And we would play golf. Poorly, but we would play golf. I was on the golf course with him one time years ago. He was about 8 or 9, maybe 10. And he had a habit of walking on up the fairway after he would hit the ball, and I would tell him, "Son, stay back." And I hit a golf ball, and it came off the club, and it went slicing around right in his direction. And I yelled for all I was worth, and he just kind of turned. And it hit him in the elbow, going, I don't know how fast. It was pretty stout. I mean, it nailed him right in the elbow. He never walked in front of my golf ball again. So he did learn that. I wasn't always perfect at being at his games or at Bethany's recitals for voice. I wasn't always perfect about that. I missed way too much. But I wanted to have fun with my kids. Because I remembered my dad playing. As busy as my dad was, when I would get up in the morning on school mornings on a lot of Saturdays, Daddy would already be gone to work. He would be out of the house. He would be gone. Unless it was his morning to drive me to meet my ride for school, he was gone to work. A lot of times it was 5:30, 6 o'clock before he got home in the evening, and so in the wintertime it was dark. But when he possibly could, he would get home, and before supper we would grab a football and run out in the side yard, and I would throw him the ball, and then he would run it my way, and I was supposed to try to tackle it. Most of you met my dad. He was always about that big around. I don't know where I got this, but he was little. But he played football in high school in the day when they had no face masks, just the leather helmets. Those boys were tough. But he would get out there and play ball with me, or he built a little golf course for me out in the side field when I started learning to play golf. And Daddy didn't play golf. He didn't care about golf. But he would run around playing football with me, and his nickname for himself was Old Swivel Hips. Because just as I thought I was going to tackle him, he would wiggle out of the way and get by me every time. But would you believe that's one of the happiest memories of childhood that I have? Was Old Swivel Hips and me. Going to choke up again if I don't move on. But when we play with our kids, it does, again, four things. Letter A, it enhances their self-esteem. It tells them, I like you. You're important. I want to spend time with you. Letter B, it builds bridges. No matter what we're doing, when we play with our kids, we build a bridge into their world. And it will help provide the place for us to continue to walk into their life for the rest of our life. Letter C, it creates warm memories. I just referenced that. I've told the story about Bethany putting curlers in my hair on a trip, but I didn't tell what brought that about. As I had told the story sometime before that, I didn't even remember when, but I had told the story of how John Maxwell and his brother put curlers in their dad's hair riding down the road. And their dad was a university president and a denominational leader. Dr. Melvin Maxwell was a very astute and proper gentleman. And they stopped at a restaurant to eat, and they had not taken the curlers out of their dad's hair. And they said, "Dad, we dare you to go in and eat with those curlers in your hair." And Dr. Melvin got out of the car, much to his wife's amazement and to his kids. He got out of the car and he went in the restaurant and sat there and ate the entire meal and left as though it was no big deal. And so it was after I had told that story that Bethany and her friend that was traveling with us put the curlers, yes, I once had hair, okay, put the curlers in my hair, and then they were the ones demanding we stop and get them something to drink, and I went in the gas station with the curlers in my hair. Letter D, it builds respect. American historian by the name of Brooks Adams kept a diary as a child. And when he was 8 years old, he wrote, "I went fishing with my father. The most glorious day of my life." His dad served on the cabinet of Abraham Lincoln. He also kept a journal, and here's what he wrote on the same day. "Went fishing with my son. A day wasted." It's all in perspective, isn't it? Dads, it's never a day wasted when you play with your kids. Never. Number three, a winning dad is a dad of purpose. Every life needs a purpose that it will give its energy and enthusiasm to. My children, your children, need a legacy where you and I can assist them in finding the purpose for their life. And if we pass this on, if we're able to pass this on to our kids, here's what it'll do. Letter A, I want them to understand and embrace the sovereignty of God. God works in our life in ways that we often don't see nor understand. And no matter what's happening in our world, in the end, God's will be accomplished. We don't have to understand it. We don't always have to like it. But in the end, God wins. And understand something, God is always good. Wait a minute, in the middle of serious illness? Yes. In the middle of it all, He is a good God who's working to accomplish in our world the glory of His name. Because friends, if He gives us the grace to praise Him when things are going bad, we can praise Him when things are going good. We need to help them to understand this saying: God is too good to be unkind. He's too wise to be confused. And if I cannot trace his hand, I can always trust his heart. Letter B, I want them to understand the value of people. The only thing that God will redeem off of this earth is people. Stanford University in Palo Alto, California, did research a number of years ago that said 87% of any success we may have in life, in any venture, will be because of people knowledge and people skills. And only 13% will be because we know the product. I can testify to the truth of that because of my dad. And I imagine you know people that you can testify to the truth of that because of who you know. The only appreciable asset in this world, the only appreciable asset any church has, is not found in a building. Hello? I'm going to say something as carefully as I know how to say it. But if we lost this building, if we lost this building entirely, we would still be Brookview Wesleyan Church. Because of us. And when we teach our children these kinds of values, it goes far into their lives. Letter C, I want them to reach their potential. Notice their potential, not someone else's, theirs. And letter D, I want them to know that there are consequences to choices. Often as parents, we become so busy becoming defense attorneys for our kids and looking to give them ways of escape. But our kids need to learn life can be tough and certainly not always fair. And they need to know that every choice creates a consequence. Amen or out? I understood something when I was growing up. If I broke one of Mama's rules, I went to the backyard and I pulled a switch off of a shrubbery bush in the back. And if I didn't get one that was the right size, I went back. And then she would put it up on top of the refrigerator in case she needed it again. And my dad always had his tool of discipline close. He wore it right here. Hello. And if you even talk about spanking your children anymore, you can get in trouble. So I'm not saying beat your children. I'm saying discipline your children and help them know there are consequences to choices they make. And find what works for them. Number four, a winning dad is a dad of praise. Praise your kids. Let them hear you say it. I bragged on my dad today, but can I say one thing? He grew up in a hard era. His parents were sharecroppers. His dad was not well. My dad was the only son at home, so he had to work in the fields and plow and basically be the provider for the family, as well as going to high school, as well as driving the school bus. Yes, they used to let students drive school buses. He didn't hear, "I love you and I'm proud of you and good job." And so therefore, he didn't pass it on. I didn't know what it was to hear, "I love you and good job," from my dad. And then grandkids were born, and they suddenly discovered the phrase, "I love you." But I will always remember the first time my dad ever patted me on the back and said, "I was proud of you." We were pastoring in Hampton, Virginia. They had been there for church that Sunday morning, and it was a foreign world to them. They didn't understand the music. They didn't understand how people were dressed. They didn't understand any of it. It was just foreign. But the room had been full from one side to the other. And there were people at the altars praying. And after service, we walked into the parsonage, and I was about to head up the stairs to change clothes and get ready for lunch. And my dad reached over and he patted me on the back. He said, "I sure was proud of you today, son." I had to hurry up the stairs, because I was about to melt in that moment. But from that moment on, something cracked and I started hearing, "I love you and I'm proud of you." Friends, I learned to say it because of Rachel. I didn't understand. I didn't understand hugging, and all of a sudden I discovered I like to hug and I like to say "I love you," and because I know what it means to hear it and to feel it. And when we do this for our kids, letter A, it will bring out the best in them. When we give them affirmation and praise, they lean into that so they can hear it more. If we've taught them that their choices will have consequences, but we also tell them we love them. We never disciplined our children without at the end of that discipline, hugging them and making sure we said, "I love you." And when we give them praise, they start bending in that direction. Just like a tree grows towards sunlight, a child will grow in that direction. Letter B, it gives them a good self-concept. Letter C, it will give them strength. Encouragement is like oxygen for the soul. Dads, men, do you like to hear "good job"? When you've done something to the best of your ability and you look at it and it's good, do you like for someone else, especially a superior or your dad, or a father figure in your life, do you enjoy hearing good job. Of course we do. Let's pass it on. Letter D, it will help them learn how to pass it on. Now, in closing, there were three little boys playing together one day in one of the boys' houses, and before long they started into the dad comparison game. I don't know if anybody ever played that game, but probably. My dad is stronger than your dad. My dad's faster than your dad. I'm not sure how they figured this out, but boys would argue that. One little boy then spoke up and said, "My dad knows the mayor." Second one thought for a moment and said, "Well, my dad knows the governor." So then the third little boy didn't say anything for a few moments, and they were at his house. And his dad was in the next room. They didn't know he was there, but he was sitting there in his chair, and he could hear their conversation. He could hear what they had been saying. And he was interested to know what his little boy was going to say. And after a few moments, the third little boy said, "You know, your dad may know the mayor, and your dad may know the governor, but my dad knows God." Dads, think about it for a moment. There's only one thing in life that's really important. If I gained all things and yet failed to exhibit before my children the things they needed to be able to know God, does it really matter? Only one thing that counts. Dad, the only thing that really counts is that our kids know we love God. Happy Father's Day. We have a gift for you on the back table. So men, as you leave today, would you take one of those with you, and just something to say, "We thought about you today and we love you." Good job, dads. The worship team is coming, and they're going to send us out with a song. Let's pray as they make their way forward. God, we thank you today for your presence. We thank you for your great love. We thank you for who you are. And we give you praise. Help each of us who are dads in this room, whether we have small ones or grown ones, help us to be dads that show them we love you. Make it so in all of our lives. And as we go from this place, may our lives reflect the grace and goodness of our God. We pray in the matchless, amazing name of Jesus. Amen. We'll sing this song and we'll be dismissed. God bless you. Have a great week. And remember, I love you.